Three foster sisters bound by trauma, separated by life, connected by a weekly phone call. Jessica, Nora, and Alicia survived their time at Wild Meadows Foster Home 25 years ago, each building a life designed to distance herself from that past. Jessica maintains perfect control as a professional organizer in Connecticut, hiding a growing pill addiction. Nora channels her sharp intelligence into morally ambiguous ventures from her Boston apartment. Alicia works as a child protection officer in Rhode Island, her walls decorated with artwork from children she saved while battling her own severe depression. Their carefully constructed lives begin to unravel when human remains are discovered during the demolition of Wild Meadows. The investigation forces them to confront not only their shared trauma, but the mystery of Amy, a blonde toddler they remember living with them, who authorities later claimed never existed. Was she a shared delusion, as they were told, or something far more sinister? As they return to Port Agatha to speak with Detective Ashley Patel, the sisters must face their most haunting question. What really happened to Amy? Holly Fairchild projected an image from a 1950s parenting magazine. Blonde hair, pastel twin sets, and manicured nails. Her home smelled of cookies and pine cleaner. Social workers saw flawless reports, while the community viewed her as a saint. Behind closed doors, Miss Fairchild mastered psychological warfare. She isolated the girls completely, establishing herself as the sole authority. Her arbitrary house rules came with seemingly random punishments. She locked claustrophobic Nora in dark spaces, forced Alicia to eat from the floor, and manipulated Jessica with cycles of intense attention and cruel rejection. What made Miss Fairchild truly terrifying was her narcissistic quest for the perfect child. When toddler Amy arrived with an extra pinky toe, a slight defect, Miss Fairchild became pathologically fixated. She carried Amy everywhere, dressed her in expensive clothes, and prevented the sisters from bonding with their new foster sister. This possessiveness would lead to unimaginable consequences. But there was no Amy, the social worker insisted, despite the sisters' tearful protests. They recalled specific details: Amy's daisy-embroidered yellow dress, her distinctive laugh, and the sixth toe on her right foot. Yet when they reported Miss Fairchild's abuse, all evidence of Amy had vanished: her clothes, toys, even her pink sippy cup. Authorities deemed it a shared delusion. This dismissal devastated them. Separated at Riverside Group Home, Jessica developed severe trust issues, while Alicia became nearly mute. Their social workers labeled them attention-seeking and prone to fabrication, labels that followed them for years. 25 years later, remains discovered at Wild Meadows force a re-examination. Was Amy real? If so, what happened to her? If not, whose bones were found? The investigation reveals disturbing patterns in Miss Fairchild's fostering history, including children with altered records. Haven't we all experienced that sickening feeling when our truth is dismissed? When someone with authority convinces others that what we know happened didn't? This gaslighting, systematically denying someone's reality, inflicts psychological damage that echoes for decades. When the sisters return to Port Agatha, they face both memories and present struggles. Jessica's pill addiction worsens, Nora confronts a blackmailer, and Alicia's intimacy issues threaten her relationship with Mira. Their investigation connects them with three former foster babies, Rhiannon, Bianca, and Zara. These encounters reveal how Miss Fairchild's abuse affected multiple lives. Jessica confesses she betrayed their plan to report Miss Fairchild out of jealousy over her attention to Amy, a revelation that drives Jessica to attempt suicide by overdosing. The investigation delivers shocking discoveries. The remains belong not to Amy, but to an infant who died 50 years earlier. Then Zara reveals she has six toes on her left foot, with one removed after adoption. A childhood photo confirms what the sisters immediately recognize: Zara is Amy. The final twist reveals Miss Fairchild was once a foster child at Wild Meadows herself. The infant's remains belong to her half-sister, Amy, whom she killed in a jealous rage, creating a tragic cycle of abuse that continued into the next generation. The novel exposes institutional failures that enabled Miss Fairchild's abuse to continue unchecked. Social workers Scott and Sandy conduct brief, superficial visits, missing the sister's distress signals, drawings of locked doors, whispered pleas, and behavioral changes, which are consistently overlooked or rationalized away. When the sisters finally report the abuse, authorities fail to properly investigate their claims about Amy, dismissing their consistent testimonies because no official record of Amy existed, despite three credible witnesses. This bureaucratic approach creates dangerous gaps through which vulnerable children fall. Miss Fairchild's motivation for fostering is clearly financial. She repeatedly accepts children when told about the good money. She maintains her license despite concerning incidents through manipulation, coaching children before inspections, and exploiting the system's preference for placement stability over investigating concerns. Through Alicia's work as a child protection officer, we glimpse the dedication of individuals within these flawed systems. Her commitment to children like Theo and Aaron offers hope for improvement, even as she acknowledges the limitations of institutional responses to complex family situations. Having their memories validated after 25 years provides the sisters with a fundamental shift in self-understanding. The confirmation of Amy's existence and survival transforms their fragmented recollections into a coherent narrative, allowing them to begin processing their trauma with clarity. Jessica's overdose becomes pivotal to her recovery. After rehabilitation, she visits Miss Fairchild in prison while pregnant with her first child, deliberately withholding this information as a decisive act, breaking the generational cycle of manipulation she once feared. Nora finds healing through Isher, whose childhood memories of her provide a bridge to her past self. Unlike her previous relationships built on survival, this partnership allows her to experience genuine reciprocity. Alicia's transformation centers on expanding her definition of family. Her decision to adopt both Aaron and Theo reflects her journey from feeling unworthy of family to creating one. With Mira, she learns to lower her defensive walls and accept support. The novel suggests healing from trauma isn't about achieving perfect recovery or erasing painful memories, but integrating past experiences into a more complete self-understanding. The sisters will always carry the impact of their childhood, but these experiences no longer define them. In the final scenes, each sister embraces her future while honoring her formative past. Jessica walks away from Miss Fairchild's manipulation, pregnant with new life. Nora finds a home in Port Agatha. Alicia embraces the beautiful chaos of her family with Mira, Aaron, and Theo. Their journey shows that while we cannot change our histories, we can choose how they inform our futures. Healing isn't just overcoming trauma, it's building something new from what was broken. The most profound resistance against those who harmed us is thriving despite what they did. The Darling Girls reclaim not just their memories, but their right to define themselves beyond the shadow of their shared trauma.